Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening to AFR. If you would like to send us an email, you can do so at this address, comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. We are live video streaming on our Facebook and YouTube pages, and we're also posting the stories that we're discussing here today on our Facebook page. Just type in today's issues, and it will take you to our Facebook or the YouTube live stream as well. Ed Battagliano is co-hosting with me today, along with Dr. Ray Pritchard. We thank you again for listening. Steve Jordahl has come in to take the seat of Fred Jackson.
You can't replace him. You can only hope to follow him.
How are you, Steve?
I'm well. I hope you all are well, too.
We are. We had asked the question, how many shopping days were left?
Oh, my.
Before Christmas. Well,
12. It was 12 days till Christmas.
As, so Brent Creeley pointed out. It's about time to get the partridge and a pear tree going then.
That's right.
Ray, you've got a Christmas special coming up on AFR, right?
Absolutely. I recorded a new message called Three Questions for Christmas from Revelation chapter 1. Three questions to think about who Jesus is at Christmas time, and it's going to be airing, I think, on Christmas Eve and also on Christmas Day all across the network.
Brent Creeley, our producer, has the actual times we're going to play that. Go ahead.
Hey, Ray, it's going to be Monday, December the 23rd at 11:30 a.m., Tuesday, okay, December the 24th at 6 a.m., and also Christmas Day at 9:30 a.m.
Wow. Central Time.
Central Time.
When did you record that?
About 2 weeks ago.
From there in KC? And Senator?
Yes, I've got a nice little studio set up here in my, right here at my desk in the basement, and set it up. And we've got a terrific team at AFR. They take it and edit it and take out the glitches and so on and add some beautiful seasonal Christmas music underneath my voice. So it's a little different than some of the other programs we do because I'm giving the message, but there's music that fits with it. So it's the kind of thing for a holiday, a terrific holiday program, I believe.
Ray, be careful now. I think I'm going to try to tune in and listen. So don't talk too much about it. I don't want you to spoil the ending.
you probably already know the Christmas ending anyway, right?
All right, Steve, how are you doing, my friend?
That's you know, you'd hardly know that there's other things going on in the world except what's going on in Washington, but there are, and I brought some of them in with me today.
All right, tell us what's happening out there.
Well, I just am reading this on CNN. The FBI,
this
story that I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
The FBI has charged 10 former NFL players in an alleged health benefit scam worth over $3 million.
Now, the FBI can't charge anybody.
Well, no, they're...
But I know what you're saying.
Right.
They've investigated...
Assistant Attorney General Brian Benkowitz.
Okay, what did U.S. The FBI turns whatever they find over to U.S.
Yes.
The U.S. Justice Department, yeah. U.S. attorneys. So what's the scandal now?
The former NFL players allegedly submitted fraudulent health care claims seeking to be reimbursed for expensive medical equipment that was never really purchased, about $40,000 to $50,000 per claim. And among the just one of these names that I'm really familiar with, Clinton Portis, who was a running back for the Broncos and the Redskins, is included in this. Robert McCoon, former linebacker with the Redskins. John Eubanks with the Redskins. Tamarack.
I still don't understand what they did.
False insurance claims.
Oh.
So they wanted to get reimbursed.
They got reimbursed for things that they didn't buy.
Listen, this goes to one of my pet peeves. One of the injustices in American society.
Bring it, Ed.
Okay. Is that pro football players don't get paid enough money.
I know.
And if we would just pay them enough money.
Right, give them a living wage.
A living wage. These kinds of things wouldn't happen.
Would not happen.
That's right.
$15 an hour for every NFL football player. It has to be.
Because if they were just millionaires, they wouldn't have to do
that. That's right. That's what I'm saying.
It's not the only injustice going on in the world, too. After 2 years of going through the courts, Harvey Weinstein, the movie mogul, sexual predator, and his
alleged
sexual predator has settled lawsuits with his victims. It's a $25 million settlement, and he won't have to pay a dime of it.
And he doesn't have to say he's guilty either.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. Doesn't have to do either one of those things. His company is going through bankruptcy, and so these defendants, if they wanted to get anything, were forced to go through the bankruptcy court to put their claim in, and an insurance company will pick up whatever costs are lost.
These are for all the women who have accused him.
Yes.
Of again, these alleged predatory sexual actions. So, so I didn't know that you could get like sexual predator insurance.
Apparently, Bill Clinton had quite a list of friends there, didn't he? That he hung out with. Harvey Weinstein, Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah.
I mean, after a while, you're known by the company you keep.
Was he friends with Bill Cosby?
Well, I don't know. That's a very good question. Yeah. But it's well documented that the Clintons were, especially Bill Clinton, were.
Yeah, but Bill Clinton wouldn't be involved in anything sexual scandal or anything. He's a former president.
We are pegging out on the sarcasm meter.
Steve, I think we've talked about sarcasm is not allowed on this show.
Oh, is that?
To the extent that you're using it.
Oh, really?
And Ed and I are very serious about this. Ray's in on it.
So we never joke about this.
We voted 3-1.
3-1. Okay.
You're the one for sarcasm. Which I'm using
which I'm just, rest of us want to play it straight.
Which Ed and I are just using right now.
Yes.
to make a point that we're against it.
That's right.
Okay. Go ahead, Steve.
So Weinstein looks like he's going to get off with a lot less punishment than people wished.
The fact that he does not have to admit guilt, again, assuming that he is guilty, which I'm not doing, but if he was guilty, he doesn't even have to admit that. So he's probably still considered tainted in terms of his career going forward. But he.
No, I don't think he'll ever work again in Hollywood.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Roman Polanski, the convicted sexual predator, raped a, what was it? He's arrested.
14-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Or something like
charged
that.
For 13 or 14-year-old. He's loved by Hollywood. Well, we'll have to wait and see just how long the memory is for members of Hollywood.
So I always like to bring in campaign tidbits from our Democrat challengers.
We are tidbit friendly here.
Yes. So I want to let you know, this is a little piece from Joe Biden, who's on the campaign trail, and he was talking about his approach to immigration. Specifically, when you have green card holders that are in here, should we let all of their family members in as well? This is what he had to say, cut 14.
There's no reason why someone here on a green card should have to choose between whether his or her husband or wife and children come along, or they can bring to the United States their infirm father or mother. And so that's going to end counting children and spouses as somehow part of that number that is increased at how many people can come into the United States that are family members beyond that. That'll end up my.
What in the world? Is he saying, is this a, if somebody gets here, they can bring their whole.
Yep.
He's
chain migration is what it's been called.
Right.
Right. That if one person in the family gets the green card, the whole family can come in, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's
well. Now that's a conservative view compared to most Democrats who believe who have an open borders policy about everybody, huh?
Yeah. Listen, this is the
again,
problem.
Sarcasm used to make a point. which we used up all our sarcasm.
I got one more. Remember, it was Biden. He might have made a mistake. He might not have
this
meant
could
to say
be,
it.
This could be a gaffe. This whole issue for me starts with controlling the border, and here's why. I have no problem. To your point, Tim, a conservative pro-family position would be, I have no problem if a man comes in, for example, the breadwinner on a green card, bringing his family with him for the 6 months he's here, as long as they all leave together when they go back to wherever the individual came from. The problem is there is no border. So people come, they stay, they move, they scatter, and that's where I have the problem. If a if the federal government, through its standards and criteria, says, yes, person A can come into this country for 6 months on a green card and work, yeah, I have no problem with right. the family coming, but they all have to leave when the 6 months is over, and we have to be able to control that. But what Joe Biden is saying is once someone gets a green card, the family can come in, and then they disappear into the wind, and I'm okay with that. That's what I hear him saying.
Yeah, that's the practice of what has been going on, and I've been saying for a long time, I think conservatives, Republicans, most people are very willing to talk about a humane, reasonable way to deal with all of the immigrants, illegal immigrants in this country once they secure the border.
Right.
Because no one wants to give amnesty to everybody, and then you just get a whole nother crop coming
right,
in.
Right, exactly.
But, Ray, President Trump is trying his best, using all tools at his disposal to secure the border, to stop mass illegal immigration to this country. And the Democrats and some Republicans, I might add, are fighting him on this.
Well, how many times have we said on this program that if you don't have borders, you don't have a nation, right? And the crisis on the down on the southern border, it was not created by right. Donald Trump. It wasn't even created by Barack Obama either. It's been, I mean, this thing has been building for decades, right? Right? So in the immigration law, everybody seems to agree it's a mess. But at least President Trump is trying to do something meaningful about it. With increased enforcement and building the wall, and all kudos to him for at least trying. It's a long way, it seems to me, a long way from being solved, but we're relatively better off than we were before he came to office.
Absolutely, and I do think this is a losing issue for the Democrats. There are a lot of issues that people consider when they go to the polls to vote for a president, but certainly what to do about illegal immigration is in the top five, if not the top three. Right. And we see that Democrats have a no-border policy.
For all practical purposes, that's
what
it is.
For all practical purposes, they don't believe in detaining people. They don't believe in ICE.
Right. So
they don't believe in enforcing immigration laws. So there's no point. They don't believe in walls. So what are you left with? I handed sandwiches out at the border as people come in and saying good luck.
Yeah.
Huh? That's the Democrat border security policy.
Right.
Right there.
And if you feel like leaving when your time is up here and going back to your own country, we're good with that.
I think that's a net loss for the Democrats with the majority of the American people. Now, there are probably 20-30%, I don't know, I'm guessing, of our fellow Americans, and they don't believe in borders either. That's stunning to say that, but that's where we are because that's the mainstream view of those who vote Democrat.
Right.
If that's not true, why would all the Democrat candidates have the same position? They know that's the position of the base of their party.
Right.
So, next story, Steve.
A new report by, I think it was Guttmacher Institute, has shown that a full third of independent abortion clinics in the United States have closed since 2012. It's gone down from 510 independent, not Planned Parenthood-affiliated abortion clinics, to 344. Some of this, according to the article here that I'm reading, can be attributed to the numerous laws and regulations passed by pro-life states.
Right.
So,
your thoughts on that?
Oh, it's a huge victory. We got a long way to go. Long way to go, and Planned Parenthood, they're proud and boasting about the evil bloody work that they do, which we know about. But Steve, this is a good victory. It's wonderful news. These are independent abortion clinics, and the number is steadily going down. Fantastic.
Now, I think another part of the reason that this the Guttmacher wouldn't necessarily cop to is that some of them are being kind of co-opted by Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood puts these huge 7-story abortion mills up, and the local clinics, you know, don't have customers anymore. So a little bit of that. But pro-life laws, like the one that the Supreme Court upheld from Kentucky.
Yes.
Or at least didn't take the case. Kentucky passed a law that said that in 2017, that said that anybody getting seeking an abortion has to first have an ultrasound. The tech has to describe what they see on the screen. And that was challenged in the court by all the usual suspects. And the Supreme Court on Monday said, no, we're not going to overturn, or we're not going to look at that case. So the lower court ruling that the law is legal will stand.
That was the appellate court. The federal district judge that first heard the case struck down the Kentucky law. The appellate court overturned that and said it is constitutional. And because the Supreme Court did not hear the appeal of that ruling, the appellate court ruling stands, and so does the Kentucky law.
Yep.
It's a victory.
It is another victory.
Yep.
This is strange. The left, you know, usually they overstep, they get out over their skis a bit, and they end up hurting their own cause. There is brewing a war between the T's and the LGBs.
In LGBT?
In LGBT.
A battle of the letters.
An alphabet battle.
I saw this on Sesame Street one time.
Yes,
I saw this.
Yeah.
You watch Sesame Street too?
Oh yeah, I watch Sesame Street. Are you kidding? Those two old guys in the
balcony,
and then Bert and Ernie, and some of those. There was some pretty funny stuff that went on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I remember that. Count.
Is that still on today, Ray? Do you have any idea? Sesame Street.
What? Ask Ed. He's the expert. Yeah.
The Count.
I don't know. Is it still on PBS?
I think it is.
In fact, I just read that the guy that inhabited the Big Bird costume died. He's 80 something. He did it for 50 years, and he just passed away.
Wow. That's.
Yeah. You want to hear about the LGBT?
Yeah, I do. I want to hear.
Yeah, back to the Battle of the Letters. I'm looking up Big Bird here.
You look up Big Bird, and so I have here a transgender activist speaking. Uh-huh. It's a little hard to hear because it's taken from a TV set, and she's got a British accent. He, she, it, they.
And you're so woke.
I am. And listen to what this person has to say. Cut 15.
If gender is on a spectrum, then homosexuality doesn't really exist because it can only exist in a binary. So when it comes down to it, it's just two people or maybe three or whatever loving each other. You know, it's nothing to do with sexuality, and sexuality is redundant.
Sexuality is redundant.
This is part of the argument going on right now within the LGBT community, and that is that, and this has gone on for a long time, frankly. There was for a long time the transgender part of that community was not welcome at gay pride parades, for example. And what the argument that he or she was making, because I don't know what the reality is there, whether that was a man who think he's a woman or vice versa, is that if gender is fluid, then there's no such thing as a man who has a relationship with another man, because there's no such thing as man.
Right.
You know, so this is how bizarre this argument gets, and now lesbians...
Bizarre, but that's logical, too.
No, you're right. It is.
It follows, sure.
Yeah, it's logical if you take the first step in saying there's no such thing as male or female.
That's, so how does an LG react to a T saying that? You know what I'm saying? Because you got the transgendered, and they're part of the LGBT movement.
I think the L beats them up, and the G runs away.
Oh, man. Oh, wow. Send your comments. Send your comments about stereotypes.
Hey, are there any vowels in that movement?
Yeah. No.
LGBTQ and sometimes Y.
So they discriminate against vowels.
Against vowels.
Yes. Right.
You can't even buy one.
That needs to be pointed out. Do a story on that.
Yes, sir. Will do.
What else you got? We got 6 minutes.
All right. I have two stories. Colin Kaepernick, you remember, had a tryout, which he moved at the last minute. All 32 teams were going to send somebody. They sent them, but he moved, and so nobody showed up. And we have just heard from the commissioner, Roger Goodell. Let's hear first from Colin. This is his what he said after this tryout.
I've been ready for 3 years. I've been denied for 3 years. I'll continue to be ready. We have nothing to hide. We're waiting for the 32 owners, the 32 teams, Roger Goodell, all of them to stop running. Stop running from the truth. We'll let you know if we hear from them. Ball's in their court. We're ready to go.
We're ready to go. Well, they were ready to go.
Just shut up.
not Steve. We're talking about
no, that's right. Colin Steve. Kaepernick. Yeah. Just shut up. All right. So
this is what Roger Goodell said about this tryout that they set up and that he the location of which he moved.
Who moved?
Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, Kaepernick.
Just flat out said, we're not going to do it here. We're going to do it somewhere else.
An hour before.
Right. He says, this was about creating an opportunity. We created that opportunity. It was a unique opportunity, a credible opportunity. He chose not to take it. I understand that. We've moved on.
Yeah, Colin Kaepernick is just a showboat.
He's yesterday's news, Tim.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about him anymore.
I mean, he's not. Okay, Tim, agree or not? He'll never play another down in the NFL, right?
No, he won't. He won't.
Because first of all, he's too old. He's getting too old,
right?
And he's not good enough. And he is a mess in terms for public relations.
Yeah.
If he comes to your team to play,
well, he's a rank anti-American,
right?
I mean, his views are you talk about bringing trouble into your clubhouse.
That's right.
And again, with half your fans or more turning on you, saying, I'm not going to buy any more season tickets if you bring this.
He'd be poison in the locker room.
So, yeah. And what was it? He was at this tryout with some kind of T-shirt on. What was it? Some kind of he
it was from
where is he? Socialist,
Roots.
Leftist.
It was from
he's Kunta Kinte.
Yeah.
He's a slave.
Right.
That's what he was saying. Brother. I'm a slave.
Right.
Brother.
Again.
Highest paid slave
wage.
In history, I got to tell you.
He's doing good.
He can do whatever he wants and pick and choose what he wants
Nike
to do.
Loves
That's not
him.
A slave.
Nike loves that. You know, they're willing to pay him to be a slave.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
All right. One last story. There's a property company named St. John's Property who passed a milestone this last year in securing.
Not a kidney stone.
No. Securing 20 million square feet of property. Their portfolio equals $3.5 billion. So the owner of this took $10 million and gave Christmas bonuses to their 198 employees.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them got six-figure bonuses.
Mm. Yeah, because it was prorated as far as how long you were there. This morning in our story meeting, I took the total and divided it.
Yes.
And now that's not the way it was distributed, but the average would be like $50,000 each.
A $50,000 Christmas bonus. Yes.
Don't mention this story to our staff.
My lips are sealed.
Keep it to yourself.
That's right.
Just between you and me, boss.
Nobody will ever know.
Or
we will revoke your Christmas bonus. I'm just teasing with Steve here. All right.
A little sarcasm, right?
Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Passing a milestone. Passing a kidney stone.
Milestone, kidney stone. There is quite a bit of difference.
That's coming up.
If you've ever done it.
That's next up from Willie Nelson.
Willie Nelson song.
All right, a Willie Nelson song.
Passing my kidney
stone. He's singing his own song for a change.
Was a milestone.
Ray, thanks.
Thank you, Tim.
Thanks to Ed, Steve, Brent, and Fred. We'll see you back here tomorrow with Trivia Friday, everybody.